it's us. It's me, Molly, and Kieran.
Welcome, friends.
And this is The Story Goes, which is brought to you by CPS Energy, who understands the importance of telling the complete stories of our city. And, you know, it's a podcast partnership. I think I said podcast partnership.
I heard it. I was going to let it go.
I feel like it's like a podcast is the new thing and more people should do it. That's what I've decided. And it's a partnership between SA 2020, your organization that drives progress toward a shared vision of a thriving San Antonio, and KLRN, Here's the Voice, your local public television station. Every time. Why is it? All right. It's us. We're here. And we have a special guest with us today who has been mentioned in other podcasts. So obviously she's fancy. Angelica Holmes from Black Outside. Thank you for joining us on this
hey, y'all.
Recorded podcast. Hey, we're excited to have you and excited to learn more about what Black Outside is. And why it's important to you. And if you like, we can start off there of you telling us sort of what it is and why it's important to you specifically. And then we're going to move into like our serious, like Oprah, Barbara Walters.
That's when we cry. We cry at like the 20 minute mark. Okay, great. As long as I know the flow. So just my general spiel, Black Outside is an umbrella organization. And our mission is just to reconnect Black youth and youth of color to the outdoors. So we do that through various programs. My favorite, the one that I'm going to mention first, I don't care, is Camp Founder Girls, which is actually, I've got to plug this, but it's the very first summer camp for Black girls in the whole country. And it was actually started right here in San Antonio. So it lasted for about 40 years, and in the 1960s when the founder, who was like, you know, carrying the whole team on her back, we've got to just call it like it is. Her name was Maddie Landry, and when she passed away, the camp just kind of sort of dissolved, and we brought it back last year in 2019. So Camp Founder Girls, that's our first program. We also have the Brotherhood Collective, which is really awesome. It's like a mentorship for high school aged boys. I know a little less about that. They don't invite me to any of their activities.
Because you don't say theirs first.
I'm never welcome. Yeah, that's why. Okay, I got to put some respect on their name and then I can start coming to the Brotherhood stuff.
Right.
But they do a lot of mentorship and they're moving to have like several different touch points throughout the year. But they have mentors that they work with and the idea is to get them to a like full retreat outdoors. And so that's really cool. And then we also have the Charles Roundtree Bloom Project, which is just awesome. It's run by Kiambra Thompson, whose praises I will never stop singing. She's brilliant. It's actually named after her cousin, Charles Roundtree, who was shot and killed by SAPD in 2018. He was 18 years old. And so it's a healing justice organization, you know, and they just get some healing outside. They do a lot of different activities that help ground them and center them and learn about the nature that's right here while also exploring a little outwards, doing things that they never would have done before. But it's a really awesome program as well. So those are our three main ones. We're building out a little bit. We got some things brewing for 2021, but those are the highlights now.
Angelica, remind us when the organization got started.
Yeah, so January 2019 is when we started, so we're still a toddler.
And we know that the values of Black Outside are explore self, explore culture, and explore outdoors.
Yes.
Folks wouldn't, the connection between culture and outdoors might not be immediately obvious to folks. Can you tell us what that relationship is?
Yeah, I think like when you think about our intersectional identities, I think about when I think of myself, right? Like I'm not just one thing. So I am a nature appreciator, right? I hate the term outdoorsy, and I don't even know if I would call myself outdoorsy yet, but you know, I'm interested in nature. I am also interested in equity. I'm also interested in loving the city that I'm trying to grow roots in San Antonio, you know? So, It's multifaceted and it's really important for us to provide like a sense of cultural relevancy for all of our programs and making sure that our kids not only feel that they're a part of it, but also feel like they're deeply included. So yeah, cultural relevancy is super important.
I'm intrigued by the fact that you have this organization that you started like last year, and it's to get outside and to explore more, and then COVID happens and basically we've been told you have to get outside, like to even meet outside is where you go. So I realize that you're like probably on a holding pattern for starting new things for 2021, and also how this has allowed for sort of an exploration.
Yeah, it's been really interesting in that nature has kind of been everybody's saving grace during this time. And now everybody's like, oh, maybe y'all were onto something, you know, so I don't go stir crazy. Yet it's still kind of unnerving to even leave the house sometimes. And, you know, you don't always know how safe everything's going to be. So it has been a really tricky time. Obviously, our programming has had to consolidate a lot. A lot of our plans have shifted and changed and been canceled. But, you know, we've been trying to figure out how to best thrive in this COVID economy. And I think that people are really figuring out kind of the benefits of nature, especially on mental health.
I want to go back. I want to talk more about COVID-19. I also want to go back and talk more, I think, first about Camp Founder Girls in particular, as well as the breadth of programming that y'all offer, to give us more of a sense of what y'all are doing in close collaboration with the girls that you serve. So at SA 2020, we're giant nerds. We say that every time. It means that we read the annual report for Camp Founder Girls and got like so excited about it.
Yeah, thank you. I put a lot of work into that.
Well done. It's beautiful. Nice. You're talking about like outcomes and shifts in learning and behavior as a result of the camp. We enjoyed it so much. And it says in there, right, in Camp Founder Girls, that the young girls are embarking on a journey to reignite Black history in the outdoors. And I thought that was such a powerful statement. You also mentioned just now, right, this idea of growing roots. As someone who wasn't born in San Antonio, right, and is newer to San Antonio, I'm curious how your work with Camp Founder Girls in particular is, how has it helped you grow roots in San Antonio? How do you see it supporting the girls in growing their roots? And what does that mean?
Yeah, I think like, a term that I often say when I talk about Camp Founder Girls is that there's such a rich history. And I think that's true of our camp, but I think that's also true of this city. I had a chance to sit down with, actually, I call her the OG Founder Girl, Miss Gaynell Gaynor. She was a camper back in the 1950s. And when we spoke to her the very first time, she would talk about things that just seemed like they were so long ago, but she's this thriving woman, you know, like she talked about how the East Side was literally that was the Black sector of the city. That's where they could be. That's where their businesses could be. That's where they could live. It was literally a segregated city within her lifetime. So our city has a lot of history that is not so nice, but very important in figuring out why the landscape looks the way that it looks. So I think that's all super relevant when we think about the history of Camp Founder Girls and why it's so important here.
It's also, I was going to say, like, it's also so interesting in today's climate, understanding sort of our own history and putting down roots and figuring out sort of what we're doing, that you're also taking, that you're like expanding sort of girls' ideas of what they could be or what it means to be outside, right? Like, yeah. I'm thinking about sort of even in our own ridiculousness of gender roles and like who gets to go outside and who doesn't, like who gets to explore or whatever. And I want to stay with this the Camp Founder Girl specifically, and the idea that right now, as we're like talking through, because we've touched on COVID and we're talking about Camp Founder Girls, I'm going to sort of merge the two. This idea of like workforce development, and as has become my shtick apparently, is I do things with air quotes on a podcast that no one can see. It's fine. So workforce development is in air quotes for me. But we've been talking about that a lot. And in your annual report, 97% of the parents whose girls participated in Camp Founder Girls said that the girls were more creative as a result of the camp, that they wanted to return in 2020. And we know, based on, because we're nerds, the data that we've looked at and surveys that we've done, that one of the top things that employers are looking for is creativity when they're hiring people. So I'm curious if you can talk about not only just sort of like, hey, an appreciation of nature, but this idea of like growing girls' creativity and having them want to be outside and grow and learn and be in a city that has such a rich history of segregation. And talk more specifically about sort of what you're wanting out of working with these girls.
Yeah, so I really love that question, because when we were kind of ideating on what we wanted Camp Founder Girls to be in its new iteration, right, the one mm-hmm. that just restarted, you know, we thought about what we want the foundational pillars to be, and creativity is one of those. So strong, brave, creative, and confident, those are the four pillars. And so every single thing that we do, we want to tie it back to one of those pillars, right? So all of those are things that I think make a successful, thriving human adult, somebody who can contribute to their community, someone who can make a living of themselves, and someone who can, you know, take care of themselves ultimately, which is what we want. But, you know, we noticed that there are a lot of skills that you can get from being in nature. You know, you talked about that creative problem solving. That's something, you know, dropping a kid in the middle of nowhere and saying, okay, find your way back, obviously with some guidance and with some assistance, but pushing them a little bit outside of their comfort zones is super healthy. And we've just seen our kids thriving from even just a little bit of exposure.
Right. It's the word that comes to mind for me too, is belonging. Mm-hmm. That we, like, not only does all the research in the world tell us this, right, but also I think our lived experiences in different ways. And for me, I know as a South Asian woman, as an immigrant, like growing up in San Antonio, especially as a young person, having spaces where I belonged are the memories that I hold closest to my heart that really impacted my, like, changed the trajectory of my life. And so when I read about Founder Girls, and I get goosebumps thinking about like this, the how it's rooted in history and being, right, the first camp in the country. What an amazing honor to hold in San Antonio that was given to us by Maddie Landry, who you mentioned earlier, that it started it. Can we talk more too about Charles Roundtree Bloom Project, more about what are the shifts that y'all are seeing there and working with? We know that it's specifically working with young people who have been affected by incarceration, mm-hmm. Which is important, right? Because it automatically forces us to see that incarceration affects entire families and entire communities. Tell us more about that work specifically and the impact of that work.
I'm really glad that you brought up the kind of sense of belonging, because when we think about inclusivity and when we think about the importance of the work that we do, creating an inclusive environment is just so important in all of our programming. We want to make sure that the most marginalized feel like they're the center, right? We're starting with mm-hmm. them first. And so, yeah, that is definitely the case when it comes to the Bloom Project kids. And the Bloom Project as a whole, which, like I said, I think it's a really awesome program. Camber is just a genius, and she's been able to like really think critically about, you know, what this looks like short and long term, and how we're like crafting out the curriculum to really be impactful for them, giving them a safe space. Yeah, I think that you also brought up a really good point, Karen, talking about, you know, when we think about somebody being incarcerated, we think about that person. Right. But they have whole families, they have communities that are supporting them, that miss them, that love them, that are impacted by it. And that is definitely true with our kids. And I was a teacher, and it's actually really interesting and fun and awkward. But I have some of my former students that I taught when I was on the East Side that are part of the Bloom Project now. So it's really interesting seeing, like, being able to make those connections and say, okay, I remember when you were in seventh grade and you were acting out. I wish that I would have known that maybe you were dealing with other things behind the scenes. Obviously, as a teacher, you have to always, you know, go in with that lens and, you know, be very empathetic. But sometimes you really just don't know what's going on. So some of my kids that I'm meeting the second time, it's in a different light, and it's really forcing me to think about things differently, which has been really awesome.
Yeah, which speaks to leadership too, right? You're describing like leadership qualities of a teacher and also things that I aspire to as well, and how I interact with people every day. Yeah. How, which makes me curious how your leadership has stretched between being in the classroom and now your work in Black Outside.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I, leadership is one of those things that just kind of makes me, I don't
know. Nobody can see me.
Nobody can see me.
She's squirming. Now we're all squirming.
It makes me feel very squirmy. That's a good word. Thinking about leadership makes me feel very squirmy because, you know, we think about the face of a leader, right? What does it mean to be a leader? And even, you know, I'm glad you use that word leader, because when I talk about those kids, some of those kids were actually in what I created, a leadership club. So, you know, the ones that were acting out in seventh grade, you know, we would meet after school, the leadership club, and we would talk about how to be better leaders and how to shift our energy from, you know,
yes,
helping to guide the class back together. So, you know, we're not only, I don't only think about my own leadership trajectory, but I think about raising leaders, especially our girls. That's very, very, very important to me. And I think like all of our four pillars with Camp Founder Girls really encourage strong leadership. But yeah, as far as my own leadership,
Hey, make sure you circle. I see what you're doing. You're squirming over. Back to
our kids, but our kids. Yeah. I'm always going to bring it back to the kids, but not myself, I guess. So yeah, my leadership has definitely been stretched. As a teacher, obviously you have your hand in one pot, which, you know, there are a lot of moving pieces in that, but with Black Outside, I've got my hands in a lot of different pots and I'm forced to stretch myself in a lot of different ways. And some of those are really pushing me outside of my comfort zone. Exhibit A, me being here. I'm not really an extrovert. I consider myself an introvert. And if I could just sit behind the scenes and send emails, that would be ideal. But unfortunately, with Black Outside and with us really trying to bring it into its full fruition, that requires me to step it up a little bit. So, yes.
I feel that's for me too. So I appreciate you giving us that being vulnerable with us in that.
Yeah, you're in good company for squirms.
Yeah,
so well done. I'm interested too, right, in this idea that how leadership differs, right, and leading a classroom, and then being outside. And you have, it's like several things that you've said now show sort of what happens in the confines of a room, right, in the confines of an institution or inside someplace, and what happens when you step out. And outside specifically, right? And how it sort of opens up people's, like they're more open. You found out that's what was happening in seventh grade and I didn't realize it, right? So it's this idea that the confines of inside shift so exponentially. I'm curious how, I know you, obviously, every nonprofit organization has said COVID-19 has shifted, obviously, the way our community needs us. So we've pivoted how we're delivering services, right? And how we're, our own organizations are working. How has COVID-19, yes, we've been telling people get outside more, but how has it impacted your organization specifically?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, I'll just start from the beginning. In March, we were actually on a Bloom Project camping trip. I think it was a 3-day trip, mid-March. And the last day, you know, we didn't have any cell phone service, so we didn't really know what was going on. But as we were leaving, I saw that the NBA had canceled the season. And I was like, oh, snap, it's getting real. Yeah. So when we left that was pretty much our last large gathering. After that, first of all, like we as leaders, you know, our leadership team just had to take a step back and like take care of our own mentals first, because everybody's world was shifted upside down. And we just had to make sure that we were good. But then immediately after that, we wanted to make sure that our families and our communities were good. So we started, just trying to think about how we could best serve our community. So we started, I don't know if y'all saw our Small Business Saturdays, we highlighted like some Black-owned small businesses to just help generate that support. Because, you know, when it first struck, we didn't know if small businesses were going to be able to survive. And I know a lot of them are still struggling. So we wanted to do the little bit that we could to, you know, give them a little bit more shine. So we did that. I mean, we delivered food from the designated small business to some of our families each week. So, I mean, that's a small way that we tried to help. But besides that, just encouraging all of our respective kids to get outside as much as you can. We've had some like small group social distance programming, whereas Camp Founder Girls is usually a 5-night over or a 5-day overnight camp. We did like some day programming, and we did some virtual programming where they were wearing masks, and you know, we tried to make the best of it for a little bit this summer with the girls. Bloom Project has also had some small group meetups. We went bouldering a couple weeks ago, which was really fun. Shout out to Armadillo Boulders. They were really awesome up there. And we got to be there after everybody left. So we had a little bit more room. And they've been really good about keeping it clean in there. But also, you know, with all of the protests and everything going on over the summer, it was also really important for the Bloom Project kids to have a space to sit and kind of process collectively. So they've had some meetups as well, just in smaller groups, and they've done some virtual talks as well, just so they can have a place to kind of express whatever it is that it was coming up for them in that time and whatever is continuing to come up. So
Angelica, who are the girls that y'all are serving across all these different programs? Like, where are they coming from, or their, what are their age groups? If there are folks who are listening who know someone who might want to join, how did they do that?
Yeah, so the girls for Camp Founder Girls are from ages 10 to 15. So that's a pretty good range. And then the Brotherhoods Collective is less open. It's more so like cohorts of teacher mentor groups. But the Bloom Project, they serve, I want to say, they like middle school up and through like young adults, just whoever needs it. But I know they've been reaching out to like guidance counselors and people that can really help refer and recommend some participants.
We like to always end a podcast with a call to action. Obviously, get outside more is in my brain as a call to action,
right,
which is, yeah, like, no, we're, let's all just leave. We're just going like, to, you can take a podcast with you outside so you can go. I can tell you truly, so I'm a theater kid. So I'm saying this because I was always indoors, and that was where I found my belonging. And the COVID-19 has sort of, I have done about 1,000,000,000 projects in my backyard, and it's also unintentional CrossFit, which I didn't realize. It's sort of like a weird workout that I can't feel my arms. But it's like, there's something about being outside. So I'm like, your energy has jazzed me fully. And I'm also like, oh yeah, I didn't realize how much I needed to be outside until this happened. So the fact that you're putting this in people's brains, young people's brains, so early is so smart.
Yeah, well, first I'll say, like, on the going outside thing, I think there's a lot of pressure for it to be like, I am going on a 3-mile hike, or I am going backpacking. You know, going outside doesn't have to be that hardcore. A lot of times I just sit out on my balcony and literally just soak up whatever sun I can get some of the fresh air, and come back inside for the next 12 hours, you know, next 24 hours, the next 48 hours, whatever. Mm. That doesn't mean that you have to be Bear Grylls out in the middle of the woods. So yeah, definitely get some sun, you know, it can help you a lot. That's definitely one of the first pushes to get outside. But besides that, we've really been trying to step up our social media game. You can definitely follow us on Instagram. It's at @blackoutside_inc. There's also at Camp Founder Girls and at CR Bloom Project. So those are our Instagram pages. You can find us on Facebook as well, but I don't touch the Facebook pages. What else? Our websites are pretty straightforward. All of them are just blackoutside.org, campfoundergirls.org, drbloomproject.org. And there are donation pages on all of those, but on the Black Outside page, you can just, if you want to donate, if the spirit moves you, you can just select where you want that money to go. Area of most need is there as well. So that's a way to support.
Yeah, and we'll make sure to share that too on the klrn.org/thestorygoes. So we'll share all of your pages and all of the Instagram @s and the Facebook that doesn't change. But for our older listeners, that's me and everyone else. We'll look at your Facebook.
We have an intern that's about to start sprucing up the Facebook. So, you know, hopefully by the time this comes out, we'll have a little more content on there. I don't know what goes on. That's on that side of the web.
Love. What have we missed? What have you not been able to say because we didn't ask the right question?
Okay, I don't like the way that you framed that. don't like that at all. I don't know. I could just talk about our kids all day. Yeah, but I feel like we pretty much covered all the bases. Okay. I'm just really excited to be here with you guys, and I thank y'all so much for your time, your openness, making me feel super comfortable in this really potentially uncomfortable situation.
Should we ask you again about your leadership?
No, I'm already sweating, full body sweat.
The thing that's sticking in my brain that I know is going to stick there for some time is you saying that folks who are most marginalized are centered.
We're
always excited about the guests that we bring on. I was especially excited for this conversation because I see your work at the intersection of three things that I care most deeply about: education, leadership, growth and development, continuous learning and improvement, specifically for younger girls and specifically younger women of color, and then dismantling anti-Black racism. And so knowing that there is a nonprofit organization like Black Outside who is doing all of this work and it's rooted in a deep pride of San Antonio's history makes me really proud. So thank you not only for your leadership, but for the leadership that you're cultivating and growing and what you're doing for our city.